You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, Frida Liu here, Tech Talk BFM 89.9. Leaking confidential documents can lead to a transparent government, and that's the view of Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks publishes confidential information to the world, and things that have been posted range from Guantanamo Bay procedures, the British National Party membership list, and even hacked email accounts of ex-2008 VP candidate Sarah Palin. And he's here for Hack in the Box conference, which will be held in a few days' time. So how did this idea of WikiLeaks came from?
Well, I have a long background in journalism and also in a former life in cryptography and starting internet service providers in Australia. And it occurred to me and to the other journalists and activists that I was dealing with every day that most political reform that wouldn't otherwise happen comes about as a result of unauthorized disclosures. And so we really wanted to create a system that would protect internal whistleblowers and dissidents and journalists' right to communicate those disclosures to the public and to the rest of the press.
So WikiLeaks, how long has that been around?
So WikiLeaks has been publishing in earnest since mid-2007, so about 2 years.
Okay. And how many leaks do you expect to see in a month, and is this number rising?
Yes, the number, unfortunately, is rising, and so it's a lot of work for us to deal with and try and get through. It's a bit hard to quantify, because sometimes we get a batch of documents, which may be 6,000 at once from one source. An example is all the internal Congressional Research Service reports, which were released earlier this year. For individual leaks, I'm not sure. It's hard to average that out. I mean, just this morning we released a 2,380-page document from the UK as an example.
Okay, so when these documents come through to you, what you'll do is you verify that this is correct. And have you ever actually made a mistake in that area?
To our knowledge, we've never made a mistake. It's quite interesting. We have only even received about 8 fabricated documents. All of those were in the context of elections. So in particular African elections, possibly one in relation to a US election, but all were spotted and described as fabricated. We do release those documents if they happen to be going around and people talking about them, because we've become known for a site that is good at analysing whether documents are true or not and why someone might have faked a document.
Okay, and many countries, including Malaysia, have an official Secrets Act which prevents confidential documents from being published. So how can WikiLeaks continue to do what is illegal in many countries?
Well, we have a presence in many countries. So I like to say that we take the best law of every country and give it to every country. That means we take, for example, the press protections freedoms of Sweden, which make it a criminal offence for me and for any other journalist associated with Sweden to reveal the name of their source. And we give that to every country. So how we handle what might be a breach of an Official Secrets Act in one country is simply to publish it in another country.
Okay, all right. So where are WikiLeaks servers based in?
So we have many servers based around the world, so Sweden, Europe, some in Kenya, United States, Poland. The list changes from time to time. Our primary presence for receiving information electronically, which we protect using encrypted techniques like you communicate with your bank and some other even more sophisticated techniques, are in Sweden and Belgium. And that is to take advantage of those laws in Sweden that I mentioned before, and also a very strong source protection law in Belgium that protects all forms of communication between journalists and their sources.
There must be some job hazards. Do you get any threats to remove posts from the site?
Yes, we get legal threats about once every week. We have been sued in the United States in a quite famous court case that New York Times editorialized on back in February 2008 by a Swiss bank. We had revealed secrets showing how this bank hid people's assets, primarily from the developing world, in the Cayman Islands. But we were successful in defeating that lawsuit. As far as other threats are concerned, yes, we do get threats. We don't take most of them seriously. We don't find them to be credible. And for journalists working in the developing world, I don't think there's any realistic threat against those people. In Kenya, where I've been stationed for some time, during this turmoil period in 2007, I did have an assault upon my compound by six armed men at 3 a.m. in the morning. I think this was merely sort of a demonstration of a threat, not an actual assassination attempt, which I don't think would apply to me as a Western journalist working in a foreign country.
And what keeps you going to do these sort of things?
Well, it works so well. I mean, it's extremely satisfying. As an example, we released a document about corruption in Kenya, which changed the result of the Kenyan election, and that changed the constitution, introduced the concept of a prime minister, led to a more open government. Documents about Guantanamo Bay have led to the Obama administration now saying that it will close Guantanamo Bay. So those are really very satisfying outcomes.
I'm speaking to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, and we're talking about how leaking confidential documents can lead to a better and transparent government. And we'll talk about how these... Welcome back, Frida Liu, Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks have posted things on their site which range from Guantanamo Bay procedures, the British National Party membership list, and other interesting information as well. And we talked about how there would be threats, but is there also a risk that these confidential documents could fall into the wrong hands, like hostile nations, terrorist groups? How do you make sure that this doesn't happen?
Well, we don't accept any document, but we do accept a very broad and simple criteria of documents. So we have a quite transparent process, which is we will accept documents of political, diplomatic, ethical, or historical significance. That is the criteria, that, and also have been withheld from the public or are censored from the public. So the question about how would we stop particular documents falling into the wrong hands? Well, it's hard to decide what the right hands are. We look at what has happened so far, and with the vast range of material we've released so far, that's never happened. When someone wants to reveal something, when someone is motivated to reveal something, they can do that publicly, so everyone can see what's going on and the organization concerned has a right of reply. Or they could do that privately. And if it's done privately, no one knows what's going on. And that's the most harmful situation. When material is revealed publicly, if it is damaging in a bad way as opposed to a good way, the organizations and people affected, concerned, can do something about it because they know the information has been revealed.
And the biggest leak of WikiLeaks so far, is that the one pertaining to the Kenyan government?
Well, there's many, there's lots of different ways of determining what is biggest. I mean,
some of your more interesting stories.
Sheer quantity, we released earlier this year, 100,000, over 100,000 pages of suppressed documents from the US Congress. It's a very large physical leak and also important. The material's worth about $1 billion to create. In terms of clear outcomes, yes, that Kenyan document which revealed $4 billion of fraud by the Daniel Arap Moi administration and his cronies did lead to a 10% change in the vote, which changed the government. So that is a clear and significant outcome.
And in that case, money was being siphoned out?
Yes, money was being siphoned out over many years to London banks, Swiss banks, to buy 10,000 hectares in Australia, to New York properties, to the Cayman Islands. Yes, taken from the developing world and sent to the developed world.
And it's not, but it's not the onus of these London banks or Swiss banks to check where the money's coming from?
Well, I say it is, and I think most development activists now really say it is, that they should be checking, and they should also be helping investigators get that money back.
Okay, and one of your published articles contained a list of nearly 4,000 banned sites that can easily be accessed, and these content are highly inappropriate. Of course, we're talking about child pornography. So what benefit can come from publishing something like this?
Yeah, so I presume you're referring to the developing Australian censorship list. So the Australian government has a plan which has not yet made it through the Senate and probably won't as a result of us releasing this list, to introduce a national computerized censorship system like China. That list of 4,000 sites would feed into this system. So when we released the list, we revealed that in fact less than 32% of the sites on that list had anything to do at any stage with underage images. So that is not necessarily young children, but of people under the age of 18. And as a result of showing that that list had already been corrupted, remember this is a secret censorship list, anything can go on it, there's no right of appeal or review. That list had already been corrupted even before the implementation of a national censorship system in Australia. So the result of that revelation is either there will be better oversight mechanisms for that censorship list, or there will be no national automated censorship system in Australia.
All right. And how would you protect the identity of the people contributing to the site?
Yeah, very, very important question. So we accept contributions by the post. That is actually the best way for people to send us very, very sensitive material where their life might be in jeopardy if it was revealed. But we also receive submissions online, and that can be done very easily through an encrypted transfer to Sweden. That's protected under Swedish law, and we have used the Swedish law successfully to defend a source in the case of South Africa. And we also campaign to protect sources politically. There's other encrypted techniques that we use in case intelligence agencies are monitoring us in Sweden, which is to bounce that material through several internet sites across the world before it comes to us.
Okay, so in this case, when people want to contribute to WikiLeaks, they can actually send it via...
Yeah, they can send it by their web browser with HTTPS, they can put a USB stick in the mail, they can give it to one of our associated journalists in person, they can print it out and send it to us, they can upload online quite easily.
And currently you're not represented in Malaysia?
We have no official representation in Malaysia.
All right. I've been speaking to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, and he'll be speaking at a Hack in the Box conference on October 7th and 8th, and you can hear a little bit more from him there. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.